thank you for being with us on this installment of the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'll be your host today, Phil Felice. I'm the Director of Internal Sales here at Aquila Group of Funds. And joining me is Tony Tanner, the Portfolio Manager of Aquila Tax-Free Trust of Arizona. As we are known to do, we'll be discussing all matters regarding the municipal bond markets and touching on the local Arizona economy. So let's start off. Welcome, Tony, and thanks for sitting down with us.
Hey, good morning, Phil. Thanks for having me aboard again this morning.
Yep, always great to have you. And I say let's start broadly with the current assessment of the municipal bond market. So how would you describe the present state of the muni market?
Well, you know, in describing it here at, in the middle of October following, the most recent upward move in market yields, both in the Treasury market and the muni market, I would say the best way to describe the present state is that it's somewhat unsettled.
And so within that, Tony, what would you say are the key factors driving the muni market?
You know, Phil, I think the best way to answer that question would be to first talk about what's not driving municipal bonds right now. I would say that supply-demand dynamics are fairly good and in balance. Issuance is down modestly this year with the higher rate environment. And so the municipal market is not having any challenges with absorbing supply. Trading in the secondary market has been very brisk and robust, and so liquidity I find to be particularly good in light of the fluctuations in the market. Credit fundamentals remain strong. So those are things that really aren't creating any worries or driving municipal bonds. You know, the thing that's primarily driving municipal bonds and the fixed income markets in general are, inflation concerns and Fed policy. And to that, one of the things I would point out is that, since the end of May, we've now had four consecutive months where CPI has been reported below 4%. Which compared to the same time a year ago in mid-2022, where we were consistently reporting inflation between 7 and 8%, I do think that the Fed's monetary policy has to some degree broken the inflation fever and brought it down from those high single digits to something more manageable in the 3 to 4% range. That's still a little higher than I guess the Fed wants and is keeping investors nervous. So the other thing is, again, with Fed policy and in particular the downgrade of the U.S. credit rating back earlier this summer, that's going to create, I think a period of, rates staying somewhat elevated, partly because the benchmark is no longer the pristine AAA it was. And so there's a lot more for investors to consider. But I would say that this break in the inflation fever into the 3 to 4% range is welcome, especially in relation to where tax-free market yields have found themselves here in October.
So you brought up inflation compared to a year ago. Let's stay on that and add some context and perspective to the market. So how do you view the current market, say like last year at this time, or even during previous market cycles?
One of the ways I look at it is through both a recent and long-term perspective. If you go back to late summer, early fall in 2021, we were still in a period where the highest quality 10-year muni yields were only in the 1 to 2% range, which is somewhat problematic when you know that the long-run rate of inflation has always sort of been around 2%. And so it was an environment where it was really difficult to attain what are considered to be real yields that help protect purchasing power. Today, even though the inflation rate is higher, the environment for market yields is decidedly more favorable with 3 and 4% high-quality muni yields prevalent. And so within the context of long-run inflation considerations, there's some real value to the yields that are there. It did take some pain to get to this point. However, there is, again, value and opportunity in those yields. In a forward-looking perspective, the ingredients for income investing, I think, have become more favorable than we've seen in the last 2 to 5 years.
So a lot of interesting stuff there, Tony, to unpack. But I do want to kind of switch gears a little bit and focus a little bit on the fund's investment strategy. And I want to talk a little bit about what goes into evaluating the muni market, the bonds held in the portfolio, and identifying new opportunities and managing risk. If you could speak a little bit about just day-to-day investment strategy.
Yeah, that's a good question, Phil. And the operative word there is managing risks. You know, it's important when you are managing an investment vehicle that has the capacity to attain broad diversification that you are indeed thoughtfully managing and engaging risk and not necessarily simply avoiding it. And so, you know, here at Aquila Group of Funds, not only in Arizona but across our product line, you know, we engage in very deliberate active management, again, within the higher quality intermediate space. But even within those relatively conservative vantage points, we're finding really good values. And of course, the taxable equivalent yield, if you were in a 33% tax bracket, would put you closer to 6%. And so that's a really good environment for our disciplined, high-quality intermediate approach. And we are very carefully looking at the shape of the yield curve to identify and obtain value there. Sometimes it's important to avoid having too much in fully valued sectors of the curve. And so we think having good broad maturity diversification is important, as well as broad coupon diversification. Now that there's a wide variety of coupons and market yields out there from which to choose. Again, being locally based helps us out a lot because we can see on the ground certain sectors and issuers where these values are amplified, whether it be local school districts or higher education bonds. And so we're finding this to be a very favorable time for Aquila's careful approach to these obviously tumultuous markets.
As we always do, and we always do talk about, what are some of the latest developments impacting Arizona's local economy and the municipalities?
You know, Phil, I want to touch upon a couple important trends that are somewhat below the waterline in terms of attention, but are really what are driving the local economy. The first is what I'm going to call the migration of wealth and decision makers to the state. You know, I came a couple of interesting studies recently that really characterized this. The first was a study of IRS income figures, and it showed that in the last 5 years, over 200,000 tax filers with a combined AGI of $22 billion have net relocated to the state. That's third in the nation behind only Texas and Florida. And it's a really interesting to compare that to Texas because on a per capita basis, that amounts to about $3,000 of additional wealth income per capita. In Texas, the $30 billion they received is only about $1,000 per capita. So the state is clearly becoming wealthier, but not just from retirees. You know, the Hoover Institute came out with a really good study last year about California headquarter relocations. And in that study, it showed that among 350 California headquarter relocations from 2018 to 2021, Arizona attracted the fifth largest number of those headquarters, 21, trailing only Texas, Tennessee, Nevada, and Florida. And so, you know, decision makers that really impact the quality of jobs are also moving here. And so that's a really important trend of the state. The second trend that I'm seeing, which again kind of flies under the radar screen, has to do with the quality of education in the state. And, you know, one of the interesting outcomes from the pandemic showed just how resilient Arizona's higher education system is. From the outset of the pandemic to September of 2022, I believe, Arizona was one of only 8 states to achieve public university enrollment increases, and with Arizona State University's standing as a well-recognized innovation leader. That's a really important component of what's going on with the economy. Interestingly, is the growth of the increase in the workforce education in the state. The real estate, commercial real estate entity, CBRE, just put out a study that showed that Arizona ranked third in the nation for the, over the last 5 years in terms of the increase in residents in their 30s with a college degree. And that increase was 32%. And so we're becoming a very highly educated workforce, which is very important when you look at how the state has evolved into what I call the nation's smart manufacturing hub. You know, we're seeing very strong employment figures in the semiconductor and other related industries. One of the interesting things that I saw in a recent study showed that within the Phoenix area, there are over 140,000 jobs related to semiconductors and precision electronic components. That compares very favorably to a place like San Jose with an employment of 180,000. And I would say the final trend that's really helping affect the state is continued growth in healthcare and a pretty resilient real estate market. Housing prices have moved actually fairly sideways since the beginning of 2022, and we're seeing healthy construction growth in multifamily residences. So overall, a really good tone to the economy, supported by a variety of important industry sectors.
So we covered a lot there. We talked about the macro, we talked about the fund strategy, and then we took a look at Arizona itself. So can you briefly summarize maybe a few takeaways for our listeners and what those items would be?
Sure. I'll kind of go in reverse order. What's going on the ground here in Arizona in the economy is a confluence of really important trends around high-quality manufacturing, grid stability, given that we have very few outside disruptions to our power grids. And it's reminding me a lot of what you had seen in Silicon Valley in the mid to late 70s, when the confluence of a lot of research within the personal computer industry was developing. And so I think it provides a real good outlook for growth in the economy and innovation in the economy. Also, in terms of what we're seeing within the municipal bond market itself, it's really a great time to stick to quality. Investment yields and even the highest quality sectors are very attractive relative to inflation. And it's also a great time to engage your financial advisor and professional managers in the municipal bond asset class to help sift through where the best values are and how to take advantage of those values.
Thank you, Tony. And as always, it's great to hear your perspective on all of these items. Have a great rest of your year, and it's a lot for us to consider as we come here on the tail end of 2023, looking into 2024. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, and thanks for letting me share some of this valuable information with our audience.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor or sub-advisor of the fund. Before investing in each fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 1-800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in the credit quality of an issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila group of funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, the lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of the security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration is also taken into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net amount income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the investment amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividend received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.